Hello, Saints. So today I want to read and bring Psalm 1 and some thoughts and verses on it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. All right, so that's Psalm 1, and some thoughts I had on it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Proverbs 4:14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not the way of evil men. Some more scriptures, Proverbs 1:15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. The scripture is full of warnings against walking in the counsel or the advice or the ways of the ungodly. And the person who does not do it is not prideful because he thinks he's better. He's blessed because he is keeping and walking in the ways of God. It's kind of interesting story from my testimony. One of the things that happens when saints start separating themselves from sin in the world is people point at them and, oh, you think you're better? You think you're better than us that you're not going to do this with us? But no, it's just that you don't want to live in sin anymore. You want to be holy and you follow God. And scripture says that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So if there's any newer believers out there who might just be coming out and they might have family or friends or people from their past or accusing them and going like, oh, you think you're better than us? Oh, you used to do this, but now you're better? No. Follow God, follow the word of God. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly and those who don't walk after, or the wicked who walk not after God. And another psalm says, the wicked have not God in all their thoughts. Don't walk after the ways of those men, but walk after the way of God. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So again, this is tying into the people who we are not to be like. So we don't stand around the way sinners do. We get up and we move along the narrow road. And we don't sit in the seat of the scornful. There's tons of scriptures about that. Psalm 26, 4, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. God doesn't love the wicked. God hates the wicked. And we're blessed if we don't walk after their counsel and ways, and we don't sit in the seat of the scornful. There's a lot of scriptures about scoffers and mockers in the last days who are going to basically are willingly ignorant of 2 Peter 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. So know that these scorners, scornful men, these scoffers, Jude talks about mockers. There's tons of scriptures. I won't go into all of them. Now you can look them up about mockers and scoffers. And we don't partake with them. They're usually people who walk after their own lusts. They disregard the way of God. They don't care about the word of God. And blessed is the one who doesn't walk after them. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This is awesome. Psalm 119 is a good psalm to go to for loving the word of God. Psalm 119:34, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. There's tons. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. The saints of God who don't walk after the ungodly ways or the sinners or the scornful, They delight in the law of God. They find pleasure therein. The word delight is to find pleasure in desire. I think this would be one of the first things that happens in a regenerated heart. They love and seek and desire the law. In this context, it's talking about Torah law, but it's talking about the law of God, the word of God. We delight in it. And I love this. In his law, in the word of God, he meditates day and night. It's like to murmur, by implication to ponder, to meditate on. So we ponder on the word of God day and night, all the time. The saints of God don't just, you know, do it for an hour a week or an hour a day or 10-minute devotional in the morning or, hey, I got my scripture for the day. No, we meditate and ponder and delight in the law of God day and night, all the time. I mean, if our lives are like Romans 12, 1 and 2, a living sacrifice, sacrifices aren't, you know, I'm going to be half a burnt sacrifice and the other half of me is just going to keep on walking and living. No, you're utterly consumed. And it keeps going along this. What happens if we do meditate in the law day and night? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The first thing I thought of was John 15. You want to be a fruitful branch. I'm going to read from John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. I love that passage. Going back to Psalm 1, that's what it takes. I mean, Christ is the Word made flesh. If we abide in Him, if we abide in the Word, to abide means to remain in. The same way like we meditate, we ponder in the Word day and night all the time. Then we will be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Isn't Christ the living water? The Spirit, He says that out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water, which is the Holy Spirit. So if we abide in the Word of God, we meditate in it day and night, we abide in Christ, we're going to be like a tree by the rivers of water. We're going to bring forth our fruit. Our leaf will not wither. We're basically not going to be that fruitless branch. And whatever we do is going to prosper. We're going to bear much fruit. For herein is the Father glorified. There's tons of scripture that could keep going like that. Verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. So the people, the ungodly, that word is basically wicked, a wicked man. So we have this idea sometimes in the flesh that, you know, a wicked person is somebody who does a whole lot of really, really dark and bad things. But there are scriptures who say things like the wicked has not God in all his thoughts. That's what it takes to make you wicked, to be fruitless, to be a corrupt tree that doesn't bring forth good fruit, a false convert. To be someone who goes after walking after their own lusts, a scornful man. Back in verse 1, the mockers and the scoffers who walk after their own lusts. You walk after the counsel of the ungodly. You walk after the plan, the advice, the purpose of the ungodly and the wicked. If you do all of that, you're not going to be like the righteous who meditate in the law of the Lord. You're going to walk after your own ideas and lusts. And you know what you're going to be? The chaff which the wind driveth away. There's lots of scriptures that talk about chaff. I thought of John the Baptist, actually, when he was preaching, Matthew 3. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Chaff, when we think of harvest, Brother Tupos brings this up sometime. We might have this idea that the harvest is all about the wheat, you know, in the hopper, the combine, or the wheat that's gathered, but the vast majority of a harvest, when you harvest a field, is straw, chaff, chobble, stubble, sorry, I'm getting mixed up in my words here. It's going to be chaff and hay and straw that's going to burn up and be cast away. And the ungodly are like that. They're the chaff which the wind driveth away. And another thought I had on the wind driving it away was Ephesians 4, that tells us to be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. So we're not to be basically like chaff that's blown around by the wind. And then verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. When I first read that, I almost got the impression, you know, like the ungodly aren't going to stand in judgment, but that's kind of just a wrong way of looking at the words. It means the ungodly, they're not going to be able to stand in judgment. They're going to be destroyed. When the time of the judgment comes, judgment must first begin even at the house of God, but where shall the ungodly and the wicked be? Where will the unrighteous appear? That's a paraphrase of what Peter says. The ungodly and the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. There's a proverb that talks about the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Again, sinners are in the congregation of the dead, not in the congregation of the righteous. They won't be there. Be not deceived, Paul writes. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. The ungodly and the sinners need to be reminded when we preach the gospel to them, and this is why we do, that judgment is coming. And if they don't repent and become those who delight in the law of the Lord and don't walk after the counsel of the ungodly and all of those things, if they don't repent, come in faith, repent and be born again and bear fruit, judgment is coming and they're not going to be able to stand. And it's loving to tell them that, because if you love their souls, you don't want them to go to eternal damnation. Verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There's a lot of scriptures that talk about that. John 10:14. I am a good shepherd and know my sheep and have known and am known of mine. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. John 10:27. I said John 10:14 earlier. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. God knows his saints, and we can actually be comforted in that. There's a lot of comfort that men can be deceived. Men can say all things, but God knows his saints. The Lord knoweth them that are his, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. They're going to die. The end of sin, the wages of sin is death, and there's no way around that. It's repent or perish. So, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He knows their way. He knows which way we must go. We just got to keep trusting in him, walking according to all of his words and ways, and keep meditating in his word and in his law day and night to bear much fruit for his glory. And God knows us, and as long as we follow our shepherd, he'll protect us. We might have to give our life for him, but he knows our way, and the end of the righteous is eternal life with Christ. So those were my thoughts on it. Do you brothers have anything?
Good job, brother. You covered that very well. What say you, brothers?
I just have a few thoughts. So in verse 1, I thought it was kind of interesting that the word standeth here is different than the word stand in verse 5. Standeth here means enduring or remaining, taking one stand. And so we're not to like endure or stand in the way of sinners. I find it really like endure. We're called to endure on the narrow path, but we're not supposed to endure in the way of sinners. I found that kind of interesting. And then verse 3, a verse that came to mind for me was Matthew 15:13, talking about every tree that my Father hath not planted will be rooted up. So that verse says, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. So when it's talking about bringing forth fruit in his season, planted by the rivers of water, that's what comes to mind, is what the Father plants, it'll bring forth fruit in his season. So, and then another verse that came to mind, or another little story, is Matthew 21:19, talking about the withered fig tree. And that reads, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And I just wanted to read that portion there. And the Lord approached that tree, saw there was no fruit on it, and he said, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth. And that's what came to mind with that word wither, is if you're really planted of the Father, you're bearing forth fruit, you're not going to wither. Whatsoever you do, you're going to prosper in it. And then at verse 5, I read that standing almost like the ungodly is standing defiantly. So when the ungodly stand, they always do it like very proud. And the verse that came to me was Proverbs 16:5, that talks about the wicked joining hand in hand, yet they're not going to go unpunished. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. There's another good one to say in the streets when people don't think pride's a big sin. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. So I think of them as they're standing defiantly right now while they're alive, while the Lord's giving them time. They're standing defiantly, hand join in hand, but like Brother Zello said, they're not going to be able to stand at the judgment seat. And I also found it kind of interesting that congregation could also mean gathering, which is what we're having right now, the gathering of the righteous. So I kind of, it says, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So sinners are people that hold on to sin, willfully hold on to sin, keep practicing sin, and they're not going to stand in the congregation or gathering of the righteous. And the thing that came to mind for me was 1 Corinthians 5:5, where the man was tossed out of the body for his unrepented sin. And that's what came to mind me there, because they won't stand in the congregation of the righteous. So I'll read that. I'll actually start at verse 1. I'll read it really quick. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as it is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he hath done this deed, might be taken away from you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, and that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So, those are my thoughts about the psalm, but, yeah.
Brother Purgos, what say you?
Very good points, everyone, so far. I have a couple things that people didn't bring up if I was listening and keeping track of everything. For verse 1, First Corinthians 15:33 came to mind. I love how the Old and New Testament continually mirror each other. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." Psalm 1 has it a lot more broken down into different methods of association, but the general idea is to avoid those. And what I really like about verse 2 in this psalm is that they meditate on his law. They don't meditate on his mercy. They don't meditate on his love. They meditate on his law. 1 John 2:5, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." God is very simple. It's like in Ecclesiastes. This is the duty of man. Fear him. Keep his commandments. John, verse 3. When he was reading verse 4, the parable of the house built on the rock and the Beatitudes, that is what came to mind for me immediately. Let me go ahead and read a couple verses from there. Matthew 7, let's just do 24 through 27. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." For verse 5, Psalm 5, verse 4 came to mind. "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee." That verse came to mind. And the Lord, for verse 6, we know the Lord doesn't even hear the prayers of sinners, so it's very clear that we need to draw near to God through his law, through Christ, through the gospel, if we stand any chance of bearing fruit and remaining. Those are my thoughts.
Good job, brother. Yeah, you guys kind of picked all the good stuff out of it. A lot of good stuff here. I think of verse 1, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." We were just talking about this. Counsel. Advice. Yeah, we were just talking about we're not supposed to take advice from ungodly people, but we were just encouraging brothers to take advice from godly brothers, godly brethren, and seek that out. So that's kind of the opposite mindset of that. So that's a good thing to remember. Yeah, delight in the, but verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and the law doth he meditate day and night." Brother Zealous talked about pondering. We get this idea of people say, oh, meditating on God's word. But do they really know what meditating means? Meditating, I always tell people, you got to read scripture, you got to meditate and understand scripture, then you got to rightly apply it in context, then you got to obey it. And that's clearly what the reference is here. God's, the law of God's word is something to be meditated on. Of course, we know we're supposed to obey it and walk in it. Verse 3, Brother Vizolas already, the thought I had was, yeah, talking about that we will bear much fruit. Matthew 7, we covered yesterday that a good tree can't bring forth good fruit, and an evil tree cannot bring, or a corrupt tree cannot bring forth, I'm sorry, did I say that right? Good tree can't bring forth evil, and an evil tree can't bring forth good. And I like that, his leaf shall not wither. I think that that is a reference to endurance. Matthew 10, 1 Corinthians 15, everywhere we see endurance. Colossians 1, where Paul says, you have the hope if you remain until the end and stand. So his leaf not withering, I think about that. We ought to tell that to all the brethren. Strive, don't let your leaf wither in the Lord, because you have the word and the spirit to keep you going. Verse 4. And the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which a wind driveth them away. I wanted to read. When I think of chaff, Brother Zealous already said, I talk about this a lot. Luke 10:2. Therefore he said unto them, truly the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray thee therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. The massive amount of the harvest is going to be the wicked and the worldly and the ungodly that are harvested and are going to be chaff, that are going to be separated and burned up. That's still part of the harvest. And we get to partake in that as we preach the gospel and help the Lord in proclaiming truth. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And think about this terrifying verse from Revelation 14, 19 and 20. And the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered, talking about a harvest, gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, and even up to the horses' bridles by the space of 6,600 furlongs. They're going to be a harvest. And as we talked about, they harvest a cornfield. 99% of it is blown out into the field to be either burned up, blown away, or plowed under into make it back into fertilizer. But a small amount of it is corn or wheat that's going to be harvested. And when you talked about verse 5, therefore the godly shall not stand in the judgment. I was thinking about this verse. Philippians 2:10. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. The Bible talks a lot about he's going to rule with an iron rod. And I promise you, us saints are going to bend our knees willingly. There's going to be people that are going to bow their lives down even though they don't want to, because Christ is going to rule. Talks about them asking rocks to hide and fall on them and hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. So I think about that when it says that they cannot stand. And then the last point I have, you guys covered a lot of the ones I was thinking of. There are for five, for the ungodly shall not stand, nor sinners in this congregation of the righteous. That reminds me of my go-to verse, Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to sound doctrine. That could be sin and false teaching, which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So, for verse 5, I was thinking about that. And then last thing I had was, I don't know if Brother Zealous read this, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. It reminds me of the psalm where it talks about he lights our path, it's a lamp and a light unto our feet. And I think about that because I see how the word of God and the truth has led Sister Amin and I, long before we knew any believers, long before we knew everything we were doing was right, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God was a light and a lamp to us, and it lit our path, and we stayed on it. And I just remember a testimony. Everybody we knew said we were crazy, we'll never make it, you're a cult, you can't do it, it's not right. And the Lord has just kept lighting the path for us, and we've just kept following the path. That's why I encourage all you saints out there that are maybe newer at it, keep following the path, the light the Lord has for you, and you will find your way on that narrow path, putting everything away to the left and to the right. Keep yourself moving straight on that narrow path. So that's kind of my thoughts on it. Well done, brothers, and that's a good one to bring, Brother Zelos, the Psalms. Thank you. Anybody else have anything?
You mentioned something there. The ungodly shall not stand in the congregation of the right of the judge. No, sorry. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Sorry, I got mixed up there. And it's actually a really good point. I didn't think of that. And now I'm like, that's a really good point, because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. I've used that in the streets when you get a wave of mockers and scoffers. And I just preach, a lot of you mock and scoff now, but your knee is going to bow and your tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But it's going to be too late and it's not going to help you.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll do it from bitter, wicked hearts.
That was a good point.
Yeah. Anything else, brothers? Thank you, brother. Anything else?
I had one last thought for the second part of verse 5. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. One more verse popped up. 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, if we want to go to kind of all the biblical separation part passages, we'd be here all night. I mean, 2 Corinthians 6 is a good reference if somebody wants to look up to that about light and darkness not having fellowship. So
yeah,
just that'd be the last thought I toss in here.
Yeah, it's amazing. There's so much about biblical separation and walking in truth and righteousness, keeping yourself unspotted and holy, James 1, perfect religion, widows and orphans looking after them, keep yourself unspotted from the world, and hardly anyone that claims Christ practices biblical separation. They think that you're divisive when you do it. And brothers and sisters, let's claim that divisive title. We are divisive. We will divide from sin in our life, sin from others. We will divide from all false doctrine. And our master said he did not come to bring peace, but a sword to separate out his people for himself. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, brothers, we're going to leave it right there. Thank you for that. This also will be up in the Ecclesia Gathering area to edify those that listen online. God be praised. Thanks for your time, brothers.
Thank you.